Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, I'm really excited to bring a young woman on the show as a guest who I met, quite a few years ago now, and I've kind of sort of been like seen her growing up. So I'm really excited to have you on the show. Hey, Reagan, how are you?
I'm good. So my name is Reagan. I'm from Arizona. I'm 16 years old. I'm really involved in FFA and I raise lambs. And I have two jobs. So that keeps me pretty active.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you say you raised two lambs?
Yeah, so for FFA, we, at the start of, like, each season, we get a new lamb that I raise up until we sell it at the county fair, so I really like it. Wow.
Do you have them at home, like, or are they, like, on a farm somewhere?
Yeah, so I actually keep them at my friend's house, which is, like, right down the street, just because we don't have a good spot to keep them at my house. But the chickens I have are at my house, so that's pretty fun.
That is pretty cool. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody on here that has had the opportunity to be raising lambs. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool just to watch them grow up and stuff. It's an amazing opportunity.
Oh, I bet it's a leadership responsibility too, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this through the 4-H?
Yeah, it's actually through FFA, which is the high school. It's a club that used to be called Future Farmers of America.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said you have two jobs?
Yeah, so I actually work at a Mexican restaurant as a waitress and a phones person.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also work at a farm store and then the petting zoo that they have there, which is really fun.
Wow. Wow. So as a waitress and phone ordering, that's a lot of communication, right?
Yeah. I have my good days, but there are also bad days too, which makes it really hard because customers don't really know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of like to see how well they're going to take it. Like some know what's going on, but others act really confused. And they asked me if I like forgot. So
how do you manage that when somebody, you know, reacts negatively or says a dumb comment like that?
If it's someone I'm gonna be working with for a while or if I'm gonna see more than once, I'll explain to them what's going on. But if it's just a customer I'm talking to real quick on the phone, like I'll just laugh the comment off because like it's not really like I don't let myself fester on it because I know that they don't know. And I don't really, like, take the time to explain it to them. I know I should explain it to them. But, like, I'm not going to be seeing them for that long. And it's just going to be a really quick exchange. So I don't really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that. And, you know, you don't have to say, you know, you should. Because each one of us deals with our stuttering journey in whatever manner we're most comfortable with. And I kind of like get what you're saying, like choose your battles wisely. Like why get into something with a customer that you're right, you may not see again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes a person who's stutters, like I'll help them out and like I know they stutter but like I don't know if I should be like, hey, like I stutter too and I don't want to make it like uncomfortable for them but I want to say something but like I never can.
I know, right? That's hard. Like I have felt the same way, like me too, I'm in the stuttering club, but But then you don't know if they're okay with being outed, you know, and maybe that should be their decision and not ours.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I never say anything just because if they're not, like, comfortable with it, I don't want them to be like, oh, I have to talk about it now. Because that's, like I know, like, I'd feel uncomfortable if someone was like, oh, my gosh, like, you have one, I have one, too, you know.
Yeah. So growing up, well, because you're 16, so you're still a young person, but you're also a young adult. You know, what's it been like for you growing up with a stutter? You know, how's it been in school and with friends and whatnot?
It's definitely, I know which friends are gonna, like, hang around for a while, because I'll tell them about it and they'll be understanding about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kids who aren't really, just, like, I don't really, like, interact with them much, because I have, like, my group of friends who, like, know and they understand. It's helped me find some good friends, but it's also helped me figure out which ones are going to be the bad friends, so that it's actually helped me in some ways. But
yeah, like, stuttering can almost be like a friend filter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, if that person reacts like a jerk, or, you know, makes those, you know, comments, did you forget your name or where you live, you kind of know that, nah, that's not somebody I want to invest energy in.
Yeah.
Right. So what about in the family? What was it like? I know you have one sister, Lauren, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? I mean, how did she react?
My family's actually been great about it from the start. I've never had any issues in my family with it, ever. Everyone's just been really supportive of me, and I'm so grateful for that, because I know not a lot of families, or, like, not everyone's family is as supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really blessed to have a family who will support me, and they really pushed to make sure I was able to go to the NSA conference every year, just because they knew the support was important.
Yeah. So I'll get to that in a minute, but have you had speech therapy experiences?
Yeah, so I've been going to speech therapy my whole life.
Wow.
Yeah, I had some issues with some SLPs when I was in junior high, I think. But then the one I have in high school, I love her so much. Me and her are really close. We don't really do, like, techniques anymore, because, like, I already know all of them. Mm-hmm. We just talk and hang out, you know, but she's just, okay.
So nice.
I love her to death.
I take it she understands stuttering then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could always tell when they don't understand it, because they try to, like, correct you, or they, like, try to implement, like, more techniques and stuff.
Yeah. I was not a fan of those myself, mm-hmm. because it made me feel like if I couldn't implement the technique successfully, I felt like I failed, and I didn't want to have that experience of feeling like a failure, which I'm sure mm-hmm. you don't either.
Yeah. It's really nice, because, like, her goal isn't to, like, change anything. It's just more to, like, make me feel confident. And trying to advocate for myself more. So yeah. I just really like that form of speech therapy more than, like, hey, like, this needs to change, like, because your stuttering is wrong. Mm-hmm. I never was a fan of that at all.
Right. I mean, it's not wrong. It's just how we are. It's mm-hmm. part of our package, and it's the way we communicate. If you don't mind me asking, you said you had, like, some issues with some previous speech therapists. Do you know why, or what was going on?
I would, like, cry every time I'd leave class to go see her, just because she was, like, it wasn't that she was mean, she just thought that, like, I don't want to say that, like, she thought I was, like, broken, but she just thought I, like, needed to, like, get fixed. And like, and I just didn't like feeling that like she had to try to fix me. So,
and I've heard a lot of people, a lot of young people express what you just did, like just the whole not liking being pulled out of class, because you feel I don't know what you feel, but I always felt like, you know, I'm being singled out. Like everybody knew that I was going to speech class, and it just wasn't comfortable feeling, and I didn't want to be labeled.
Mm-hmm. In junior high, when I had one I liked, I actually really liked to miss class because it meant I didn't have to do the assignment. So I liked it in junior high. So.
Oh, then you used it to your advantage then.
Yeah, like I would have my teacher, I totally could have done the assignment at home, like no problem at home. But I would tell her that like, since I was in class, I didn't understand what was going on, and she just excuse it.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. You know, but I mean, we do what we need to do to cope with something otherwise could be really hard for us to manage. So
yeah.
I commend you on figuring out your own strategies for success.
Yeah, and I would like time it. If I knew there was going to be an assignment that would have just taken a really long time, I would like make sure I went to speech on that day.
And the speech therapist went along with that too.
Yeah, she thought it was the funniest thing ever how I would time it. But
yes, very strategic thinker you are, Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So you mentioned the NSA, and that's where we met. Mm-hmm. How did your family find the NSA? How did you come to be involved?
So one of the SLPs told us about it because it was the semi-annual conference. Was in Phoenix or it's just in Arizona, and it was really close by.
Tempe.
Yes, it's the Tempe one. And then we went there, it was a lot of fun, and then the annual conference in Georgia was coming up. So we decided to go to that, and then after we went to that, we just decided that we need to go to all the conferences. Mm. My mom made more friends than I did there.
Really?
Yeah, she said she's going to go with me every year until just forever, I guess.
And she doesn't stutter, right?
No, she just loves the people there.
Yeah, I do too. There's something special about people who stutter, and especially when you get a whole bunch of us in the same room, it's like mm-hmm. this like really positive energy, right?
Yeah, she has some of her best friends are from NSA now, and she just has the time of her life at the conferences.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
Than me when it was canceled, honestly. She's upset for a while.
Yeah, I was too. And still am, because mm-hmm. you know, whatever virtual experience is offered. It won't be the same. It just won't be the same. So do you stay in touch with people from the NSA, young people?
Yeah. So when I was on the TAC, I would meet like a lot of new people. But since I'm like my 3 years are up, I keep in touch with the friends I already had, but I just don't meet as many new people anymore unless I'm at the conference.
Right.
So, but yeah.
And for people listening that may not know what the TAC is, what is that?
So it's the Teen Advisory Council, and it's where teenagers help, like, I don't say like mentor, but they're like kind of like role models for other teens in the NSA, and they're just there to help out and support in any way they can.
That's awesome. Why did you want to get involved with that?
I looked up to the TAC members when I was younger, so I just really wanted to take that step and help out.
Yeah. Wow. So, and I want to say that first conference, and it was in Tempe, Arizona. I want to say that that was like 2013 or 2014, one of those. So like 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I really remember you getting up in front of a group and doing something or saying something. And I'm like, oh my God, like, look at her. She's such a rock star.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know why we were there. I didn't know that it was for like a stuttering conference.
Oh, wow. Like,
hey, like, we're going here. And like, I didn't understand, like, even after the conference was over, like, I still like wasn't sure like what was happening. And then she's like, okay, we're going to Georgia for an annual. And I still was really confused, but it all made sense after the big conference.
What did you think it was?
I don't know what I thought it was, but like, it's just like, I didn't know what was going on, but I was like, okay, sounds fun, you know.
So when did it dawn on you that this was something helpful and positive?
Like, when I got there, I knew it was like, I don't want to say I thought it was like a club, but like, I just had a bunch of people were just there to hang out, to like be nice. I don't even know.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. Did you ever meet another kid that stutters when you were younger, like in elementary school?
I have not. Not until the NSA.
Wow. So did you kind of think you were the only one?
I knew. Actually, no, I take that back. When I was in like fifth grade, I met another kid who stuttered, but even before then, I knew I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, yeah. Did you talk to that other kid that stuttered that you found out in school? Mm-hmm.
Me and him were actually friends until he moved out of state.
Oh, okay, all right. And did you talk about the fact that you both stutter?
Yeah, we actually went to speech therapy together at school, so we definitely got to talk about it a lot.
Wow. So you had like a little group session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like some of the ways he would stutter, I would start to stutter. And he would start to like copy how we would stutter. Is kind
That's
of
funny. Especially yeah. Since we know it's not contagious. So, you know.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? It's kind of like sometimes when people, and myself included, like go down south for a visit, like sometimes you wind up finding yourself like adopting a southern accent for a couple of days. And I do think for me, when I'm at an NSA conference and there are a lot of people stuttering, I tend to stutter more and sometimes pick up somebody else's like cadence. It's just weird, right? It's just really weird.
Yeah, I'm the same way too.
So, what about your sister? I know she's come to one or two of the conferences, right?
Yeah, so she actually made a couple of friends there. I don't think they stay in touch, but she always finds someone to hang out with at the conferences.
Oh, cool. So what's one of your favorite experiences at one of the conferences? What has had the most impact on you?
Just the friends I've met there. The Chicago conference, it was just really cool to walk around Chicago with the friends I met. Mm-hmm. That just is really nice.
Yeah. So it's probably like very exciting for you to go to the conferences because they're in different cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like a
older. Like I have more like freedom at the conferences, so I got to do a couple more things in Florida, which was a lot more fun than I was, because I was able to like experience stuff outside the conference too.
Yeah.
Hang out in the room, which was nice.
Yeah, and plus, you know, the power went out, so it made it like a really unique experience, right?
Yeah. I remember we switched hotels for a night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because my mom was like, we need air conditioning. So we walked down the street to the other hotel because it had power.
Oh.
Hotel without power. So
it was so hot. I mean, it just really was. I had a hard, I don't like the humidity. So I'm fine with Arizona because it's hot, but not humid. But in Florida, ugh, wicked, right?
Yeah, and then the elevators weren't working, and we were on, like, the 21st floor.
Oh,
it's horrible.
I don't remember that. I don't remember having to walk up a lot of stairs. So I must have been on a lower floor or something. I don't quite remember that.
Yeah, I definitely remember having to climb up the stairs.
Yeah, but you're young. You can handle it. Not like us old ladies that really, really struggle with it. This podcast is Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. And one of the reasons why I started this 10 years ago now is that women are in the minority of people who stutter. There's, you know, 4 out of 5 people who stutter are men. So there's only 1 in 5 are women. And sometimes our voices just don't get heard. So would you have a piece of advice that you would maybe give to a young girl first experiencing dealing with stuttering, and maybe something that could make it easier for her?
I personally always say my opinion, even if no one's paying attention to me. Just like, just start talking, and it'll all come eventually.
Wow, that's great. What if you get interrupted?
I just keep talking, or I tell them, please don't interrupt me, and then people usually feel bad if you say, please don't interrupt me,
mm-hmm.
and they'll stop.
Yeah. You don't apologize for stuttering, right?
No.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, because I know a lot of adults who stutter, including women, that feel the urge, if they're talking to somebody and the listener looks uncomfortable, to like be apologetic. And, you know, of course, there's no need for that. And you definitely seem like somebody that speaks your mind and is okay with that.
Yeah, my family's very familiar with me speaking my mind.
Yeah. Does it ever get you into trouble?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, this has been such a fun conversation, and I'm just so glad that you were willing to come on the air and share parts of your story. I just want to say thank you for being you and for being a rock star at such a young age. I give you major props.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time talking to you.
Thank you. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.